Thanks, Krishna. And thanks, everybody else, too, for sticking around. Anyway, I'm going to talk about some work on interdomain routing that I did at University of Washington while I was there with David and Tom. So the key observation behind this work is that there is a basic conflict in the internet routing today. The internet is made up of multiple independent ISPs. These ISPs, to provide global reachability to their customers, they have to cooperate with each other and route packets for each other. But at the same time, these ISPs compete with each other at business entities. And the fact that they're independent and competing with each other basically means that they may have different preferences as to which end-to-end path traffic may take. One ISP may prefer one path, and another ISP may prefer a completely different path. So what BGP does today, or the current routing protocol does today, it resolves this conflict by favoring the upstream ISP. That is, the sender of the traffic gets to decide which path the traffic should take through the network. This illustration basically provides an example. Let's say two ISPs with three interconnections between them, and the traffic is going from the dot to dot. And what the blue ISP on the left would do while sending traffic would pick the interconnection that is most convenient for it, which happens to be the closest to the source. And the orange ISP basically does the same. So this is how this conflict is resolved today: give complete control to the upstream ISP. But this has two downsides. One is that the ISPs have little control over incoming traffic. So they have to be prepared to take the traffic wherever the upstream ISP happens to send it. And this complicates provisioning. It also complicates their ISP's ability to provision their networks and react to failures and congestion in the network. But it also leads to cases where end-to-end paths are really longer than necessary. So an example would be here that there are better paths in the system that are not found using the current protocol, because upstream ISPs are picking paths that are locally optimal. They don't have a complete view of the network. They look at the network and they pick a locally optimal path that may or may not be good when you consider end-to-end path lengths. Actually, another funny thing that happens today is that not only end-to-end paths are longer, but individual ISPs also, the resource consumption inside individual ISPs is also higher. By that I mean in this illustration that the average length of the path inside each ISP for the solid pattern, which is today's, is kind of longer than the dashed pattern, which is where basically the total inefficiency in end-to-end path get distributed towards ISPs. So to give you an example that was not just a theoretical thing based on graphs, so I'm going to talk about some real incident that we measured in an earlier work while measuring the internet. And this incident concerns two ISPs, AT&T and Sprint, on the west coast of the US. These ISPs peer in multiple places, but the two peering points or interconnection points of interest to us are Seattle and San Francisco. The traffic we were observing was AT&T in San Francisco was sending traffic to Sprint in Seattle and in San Francisco. And this was the path it would have normally taken based on hot potato routing. So it's basically getting the traffic out of its own network as soon as possible. So while we were measuring, what we observed, there was an overload inside AT&T's network. So AT&T observed this overload, and what it did, having just a local view of the network, shifted some of the traffic. And the traffic it happens to shift, some of it went up to Seattle and came right back down to Seattle. Again, this is happening because AT&T unilaterally controls the paths traffic is taking in the network. But the obvious thing to note here is that had we provided some sort of joint control over routing to AT&T and Sprint, better paths could have been found. And these paths are actually better for both the ISPs. You know, AT&T's customers see shorter paths, and Sprint is carrying traffic to shorter distances within its network. So our goal in this work is to provide joint control over routing. By joint control, I mean the path selection of traffic should represent some sort of a compromise between the concerns of both the upstreams and the downstream ISPs, the senders of the traffic and the receivers of the traffic. So informally, like here, left pattern shows what happens today. What we'd like for it to happen, that the right pattern should emerge, where each path represents a concern, compromise between the concerns of ISPs. Now, there's so much work on routing that basically, if both these ISPs were part of the same network or part of the same parent company, finding these short paths would be really easy. But what makes it challenging in the inter-domain case is basically the independence of the ISPs that places significant constraints on how these routes can be found. So the constraints that are placed on our system due to ISP independence is, one is that the routes that emerge should be individually beneficial. That basically means that we're not only interested in improving just the end-to-end efficiency, but we should have a routing structure such that individual ISPs should gain. And the reason for that is simple. Unless individual ISPs gain, they're unlikely to adopt this protocol, and they would stick with the world that is today. So an example of a routing pattern that is not win-win compared to the routing today is this one, basically. What's happening here is that the traffic, the top flow, while it's going to the middle interconnection, the bottom flow is still coming in through the bottom interconnection. So the ISP on the right, the orange ISP that is actually losing out because it's not gaining anything from this pattern. So we want our protocol to engineer win-win solutions. At the same time, computing shortest paths in general require complete information about the network, but we are operating in a world where ISPs have reasons to disclose sensitive information from each other. What information is sensitive depends on the ISP at hand. It could be topology, it could be performance of paths, it could be monetary consumption of carrying traffic and whatnot. So we do not want ISPs to disclose any sort of sensitive information to each other. At the same time, computing shortest paths over the entire network, assuming a single network, usually has a particular optimization criteria in mind. But what happens in the internet today is ISPs optimize their networks for completely different criteria. Some ISP may optimize its network for latency, some others for avoiding congestion, and yet other ISPs may choose the combination of the two. And we want these ISPs that optimize their networks for different criteria to be able to come together and still be able to compute good paths. So apart from constraints due to ISP independence, we also want our protocol to retain current contractual framework, which basically is that ISPs have individual bilateral relationships with their neighbors, and they don't have relationship, or they don't have at least contractual relationships with other ISPs in the network. And we also want our protocol to have a low overhead. So while this talk is about inter-domain routing, which some of you may or may not, some of you may not care about, in general, more broadly, this work deals with protocol design in environments with competing interests. Increasingly, network systems are being characterized with this particular characteristics: peer-to-peer systems, email, and even emerging wireless networks. And as David Clark pointed out in 1988, that's almost two decades ago, that the most important change in the internet architecture over the next few years will probably be the development of new generation of tools for management of resources in the context of multiple administrations. Clearly, we are still not there. As demonstrated by the work on BitTorrent, designing protocols that take incentives and competing interests into account is really hard today. So our goal in this work, by taking inter-domain routing as a concrete context, we present a case study that hopefully would apply more broadly towards designing protocols for such network systems. So moving on to our specific solution, we call it Visor. And Visor, and I'll explain Visor initially in the context of two ISPs, and then I'll say how it applies to the general case of multiple ISPs. And the motivation of explaining it, to keep the explanation simple, but also because Visor is fundamentally based on bilateral coordination between ISPs, because we want to retain the contractual structure of the internet. And Visor here operates basically in a framework that is similar to shortest path routing, that the downstream ISPs advertise the cost of reaching each destination to their upstream ISPs. So this is what's happening when advertising the destination D, the downstream ISP is telling its upstream that these are the various costs. And what the upstream ISP does is it takes into account both its own internal cost and the cost of the downstream ISP to figure out a path that represents a compromise between the two. Note that what's happening is that the upstream ISP is compromising. And the way the win-win solution can emerge from such a framework is because traffic is flowing in both directions and there are multiple flows. So once you do this optimization over multiple flows, win-win routing can emerge. A major difference between Visor and the traditional shortest path routing is that these costs are basically what we call just agnostic costs. They don't represent any particular optimization metric. The other ISP, the upstream ISP, does not know what the downstream ISP is optimizing for. These costs are just cardinal numbers that the upstream ISP is expected to obey. But there are problems with shortest path routing. One is that it can be easily gamed by the ISPs. And the reason we are worrying about gaming is because, unlike BGP, where there's no coordination between ISPs, we've introduced this mediation mechanism where we expect ISPs to announce cost and we expect ISPs to honor each other's costs. So we need to deal with this problem. In particular, ISPs can lie about their cost to game the system. And upstream ISPs can totally ignore the downstream ISP's cost while sending traffic. So we want a mechanism that minimizes such manipulations. At the same time, shortest path routing by itself may not be win-win. Keep in mind we are dealing with agnostic cost here. So our ISP's routing cost in general can be arbitrary. In particular, if their ranges are completely different, let's say between 0 and 10, the other ISP is between 100 and 100,000, in which case one ISP would end up dominating path selection. So just the independence of the cost ranges complicates arriving at win-win solutions. So in the next two slides, I'll describe how we actually fix these problems using very simple mechanisms. Keep in mind, our goal here is to design a mechanism that is to be used by autonomous parties. And how it eventually ends up getting used in the internet would depend on the parties themselves. So our goal in designing the mechanism is something that works well for most common scenarios. And ISPs can tune it later on when they use it. In the same spirit, the cheating avoidance mechanisms that I would describe are not provably strategy proof, but as I'll show in my evaluation later, they come a fair way in terms of avoiding cheating in there. So the first mechanism is to normalize ISP costs to avoid one ISP dominating path selection. Let me describe the problem first. Let's say these are the costs of the two ISPs, same cost, 7, 2, and 1, 1, 3, and 11, representing internal cost within the ISP. And we want this routing pattern to emerge that represents a compromise in this particular case. And this would emerge actually in this particular example if the combination mechanism was simply addition. But what happens if the orange ISP's costs were actually, 10, 30, and 110 instead of 1, 3, and 11? And this could be the case when the orange ISP is trying to game the system, or its costs are actually just the numbers it uses for its cost assignment are actually a factor of 10 higher. So what this would do is this particular routing pattern would emerge. So the blue ISP would end up carrying traffic a lot more in its network, and we may not have a win-win solution at our hands. So what we do there, guided by the principle that while routing between themselves, these two ISPs are in some sense an equal say or equal partners, we normalize their cost. A particular normalization mechanism that we use is to make the sums of the cost on two sides equal across all destinations and interconnections being assigned. So once you do that is, you normalize the cost to sum to 10 at the same, which is the same as the cost of the blue ISP there. These routing costs emerge, and the eventual path goes back to the middle interconnection that we want. Note that normalization is bringing the ISP's cost within range, but it's also making manipulation harder. Just inflating your cost by a constant factor is not going to help you very much. At the same time, inflating the cost of individual interconnections automatically decreases the cost of other interconnections. The ISP is forced to reduce the cost of other interconnections there. So given that, like many sources within the upstream ISP are sending traffic towards the same destination, this makes manipulations very hard, or at least it limits the degrees of freedom that an ISP has in terms of announcing its cost by a whole lot. The second mechanism I'll describe is to actually incent upstream ISPs to obey the cost that they receive from the downstream ISPs. The problem here is also easy to see. That suppose this is the routing pattern that would emerge with cost being honestly advertised and the cost being honestly obeyed. But there's nothing in the protocol so far that stops the upstream ISP from picking this dashed routing pattern. And the way we do this is based on a simple mechanism, which basically takes the following observation into account, that the ratio of average cost of paths used and the average cost that is announced, which is those ratios over there, 2 over 3.3 and 7.3 over 3.3, this ratio actually varies with how the upstream ISP is treating these paths. In particular, the ratio would be lower if the upstream ISP is being sensitive to the cost of the downstream ISP. We take this observation into account and suggest that ISPs add a clause into their contract, basically, which limits this ratio. And this clause is very similar to the kinds of contractual clauses that ISPs have, that the ratio of traffic at any given interconnection should be within a factor of 2 or a factor of 4. In a very similar spirit, this contractually limiting this ratio incents upstream ISPs, or it reduces the degree of freedom they have in terms of selecting paths towards the downstream ISP. So that was basically description of WISER in a simple setting of two ISPs. In general, extending a bilateral coordination mechanism to work across multiple ISPs is not straightforward. Indeed, we had some earlier work in this domain where we could not extend our protocol to multiple ISPs. So part of the simplicity in the design of WISER was motivated by the ease with which, or the naturalness with which it extends to the case of multiple ISPs. And here's how it works. While announcing destinations, ISPs assign not only the destination and the AS path, which is over here, they also announce their internal cost to their neighbors. The neighbors, while bringing the cost into their network, they convert it using the normalization principle I described earlier. And while propagating it, they add these costs while forwarding it further. One thing I should mention, that the routing advertisements in BGP flow in the opposite direction to the traffic. And the blue ISP also normalizes these costs. It's, and basically ends up selecting on the path that represents a compromise between all the costs it received and its internal cost. One additional thing that is happening here is that border routers are logging the cost usage. They are basically monitoring the behavior of upstream ISPs as traffic is being forwarded. So the routing experts in the audience would also realize that going from BGP to WISER in the mechanism I just described is actually fairly straightforward. We have a few simple backwards compatible extensions. We are embedding cost as non-transitive BGP communities, so it's completely backwards compatible. One thing also is happening, which is border routers are jointly computing normalization factors, and we use the iBGP control plane for this purpose. So information sharing, there's already a mechanism in place for information sharing they're leveraging. And they're also logging the cost usage so they can compute and monitor the ratio that emerges. And we slightly modify the BGP path selection. Instead of being based on AS path as today, it's based on the WISER cost. And in doing so, as I mentioned before, we retain the contractual structure, contractual framework of the internet. The contracts between ISPs are still bilateral. There's no multilateral coordination or contracts. There's no usage. There's no fine-grained usage of currency in it. And it also benefits the first two ISPs that deploy it by improving routing just within themselves. And I've implemented WISER on two different platforms, and our prototype in Zorp is publicly available. So moving on to evaluating WISER, while the paper has a fair bit of detail on this evaluation, what I'll talk about are three main questions. What is the benefit of running WISER? So WISER is a protocol that's supposed to provide better control to ISPs, and I'll evaluate this better control in terms of the efficiency of routing that it brings about. I'll show results on how much ISPs can gain by cheating in WISER, and what is the overhead of WISER. Our overall methodology is to combine measured data with realistic models where data is not available. And as measured data, the primary measured data we use is topology that we measured in our earlier work. It's basically city-level maps of 65 ISPs and their interconnections. So that's our mini model of the internet there. So before moving on to how WISER does, let me show you what the path lengths with BGP would be today. In this experiment, what we do is we have this model of the internet where ISPs are implementing. And this graph basically shows what happens with BGP today when ISPs use the policies of BGP. On the x-axis of this graph is path length inflation. That is how much longer the path was with BGP compared to globally optimal path, which we could compute over a topology. And the y-axis shows the percentage of flows. There's one flow between every pair of nodes. What fraction of flows are inflated by what? So an inflation factor of 2 here basically means that the paths were twice as long with BGP than the optimal path. The table here is summarizing the graph just because it's easier to read there. So what we see here is actually one interesting thing, that even like almost half the paths here are not inflated at all with BGP. So BGP does fine for most of the cases, in fact. Where it actually goes wrong is in the tail of the paths, where we see 5% of the paths are inflated with a factor of 2, and 1% of the paths are inflated with a factor of 6. It's these kinds of paths today that cannot be fixed automatically with BGP today, and when customers complain, operators have to fix them manually. So for this particular metric of efficiency, the goal of WISER then becomes, can we fix these paths automatically or not? So this was the tail of the curve I was trying to focus on. So what we see here, this graph here shows how WISER does. So the dashed line there is for WISER, and what we see is that WISER paths are coming pretty close to optimal. For 5% of the paths that are inflated by a factor of 2 are now inflated only by 20%, and 1% is inflated only by 50%. These results are actually taking into account both conventional wisdom and certain theoretical results there. These results are surprising. Basically, what we are saying here is that even we are allowing ISPs to operate in their best interest, and even when they do that, routing comes pretty close to optimal. This is contrary to theoretical results because they don't take into account the characteristics of the internet topology and such things. The other interesting thing that about the design of WISER is that because it comes so close to optimal, mechanisms that are more complicated than WISER, for instance, based on multilateral coordination or currency, is basically these results are showing these mechanisms are unnecessary in the internet. At the same time, we've tried to make WISER simpler than it already is, and we find that that comes at a cost of efficiency. So what I'm suggesting here is that WISER actually sits at a very interesting point in the design space, where it's simple, but no simpler. Another result on WISER's efficiency, another metric of efficiency, this has to do with the additional capacity that ISPs require in the network to handle failures. There are two ways to handle failures. One is to over-provision networks such that it's able to carry all the traffic variations that is generated by failures and traffic rerouting. The other way is to actually provision your network less, but dynamically reroute around failures. And Visor enables ISPs to do that because it provides joint control both over incoming and outgoing traffic. And this graph plots what the benefit of that mechanism is. The solid line is for BGP, and we see the additional capacity that is required relative to the stable load the ISP is carrying. And what we see is that Visor requires a lot less additional capacity to handle failures than BGP. And the median gain here is 10%, and which can actually translate to significant monetary savings for ISPs because it lets them upgrade their network less often. Quick results on what the impact of cheating in Visor is. In this experiment, there are two ISPs, and we deem one of the ISPs to be dishonest. The dishonest ISP has complete information of the upstream ISPs and the traffic patterns, and it tries to game the system as much as possible. These black lines here are reference lines as to what happened when none of the ISPs are cheating. This line here shows what the impact is for both on the gain of the dishonest ISP on the left and the loss for the honest ISP on the right. So what it shows here is that, yes, the dishonest ISP can gain if there are no constraints placed on the system. But more than that, the honest ISP loses by a lot because its gain has been reduced by a lot when we have no constraints on the system. And what the dotted line here shows, it's hugging the black line closely, what basically means that if dishonest ISPs, whenever they're cheating within the constraints imposed by Visor, the gain they can achieve is fairly limited. At the same time, the loss they can cause to the neighboring ISP is fairly limited as well. Quick slide on what the overhead of Visor is. I've implemented it in two platforms, ZORP and SSFNet Simulator, and find that it was really easy to extend BGP to Visor, and it required less than 6% additional lines of code. It has a slightly higher computational requirements than BGP, mainly because it has to do the normalization. It has to do normalization and maintain cost ratios. Its convergence time is higher than BGP because when the normalization factors changes, sometimes additional advertisements have to go out, but we find it acceptable to be even for large failures, and it can be further reduced. If it's basically higher because of MRAI timers, which hold down timers in BGP, which limit how frequently advertisements can be sent out. And by modifying that, the convergence time can be made better as well. And routing message rate of Visor, we find it to be pretty comparable to BGP. So to finish my talk, I talked about a new routing protocol called Visor that provides joint control over routing to ISPs. Visor is a very simple extension to BGP, yet it's very effective in what it tries to achieve. ISPs have joint control, and its efficiency comes pretty close to optimal. And in doing so, we've retained the contractual structure of the internet. We haven't changed the charging model, and it's an incrementally deployable protocol. In our evaluation, apart from the results on Visor itself, what we found interesting was that we find that competing interests in the internet routing setting, they don't lead to significant efficiency loss in the internet. And this is contrary to both conventional wisdom and certain theoretical results, which basically means the network structure is actually a lot different from the theoretical models. And the price of anarchy, or the price of competing interest in internet routing, is not that high. But stepping away from internet routing, I touched on the issue of designing practical protocols for environments with competing interests, and they're increasingly peer-to-peer systems, email networks, and stuff. They have competing interests in there. So we look at these results as a very positive sign that, yes, we can actually, by taking the unique characteristics of the domain into account, we can engineer practical protocols that are able to efficiently harness the competing interests within the system. And that concludes my talk. Thank you.